preparation for the baptism service, I use for the preparation message Matthew chapter 28, which is the Great Commission, the final words of Jesus' instruction to his disciples before the ascension, and includes a good section on baptism. During my message, I made a very small, brief comment about the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. And I have this up here right now. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it basically tells that Jesus came to John the Baptist in the Jordan River and he requested baptism. And John balked at it. John said, "You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "We need to do this to fulfill all righteousness," that there was a plan involved in it. So John baptizes Jesus in the dove comes down, the Holy Spirit upon him. And I want you to focus on the last sentence here. It says, "And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I want to ask you a question this morning. Why was God the Father pleased with the Son for being baptized? We know why he loved him. He was his son. He sent him to earth. But a lot of times during the pre-baptismal interviews that we do, I say, why was Jesus baptized? Why did he need to be? It's a different reason. He wasn't identifying with himself like we are. And so this idea of why was God pleased with Jesus really shows a division in Christianity on two lines of thought. So Sherry, if you'd go to the next slide, there are a line of thought in Christianity that talks about sacraments, and there are seven of them. And sacraments, if you look below, are means to attain additional grace or favor. These are things that people do in their Christian life to bank merit with God. And I ask you, is that why God was pleased with Jesus? And you say, wait a minute, wasn't he God incarnate, the God-man? He was the owner of grace. He was the bestower, the giver of grace. So that doesn't seem to fit within that topic of why God was pleased with him. On the other side is ordinances. And in ordinances, the definition is they were modeled by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, and they are founded upon obedience. Because Jesus did not have to be baptized. He was Jesus, the Son of God, the co-eternal God. But he humbled himself, it says in Philippians, to become a man. And he humbled himself to be put below the waters. And kids don't seem to mind that so much. They are not worried about what their hairdo is looking like and if it washes off their makeup or whatever. But adults do. They go, "Oh, I don't want people to see me the way I came out of a shower." Jesus was humble. He was obedient in that respect. At the beginning of his ministry, that's when baptism took place. That was the marker that I talked about with the folks that were getting baptized. The second marker was very near the end, and that is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper or communion or the Eucharist. One more proof I want to give you. In the next slide, it is a parable that Jesus taught called the parable of the prodigal son. You know the story. A young man, the youngest of two brothers, he had a wealthy father and he wanted his inheritance while dad was still alive because he wanted fun money. And he went out and he blew it. He went out and partied until it was all gone. Everything that his inheritance was, he had used up. And he woke up one day. He was living and eating the pods that the pigs were eating. And pigs to a Jewish person was an unclean animal. He had sunk that low. And he said to himself, "You know, my dad's servants get treated better than this. I think I'm going to humble myself and go home." So he starts his journey. And we pick up the story right here, but while he was still a long way off, the son coming back towards his home, his father saw him. You know why? Because his father was looking for him. The father was looking for the son. Every day he got up, you could see him, and looking on the horizon, will my son come home? And it says, and he was filled with compassion. That is what grace is. Grace is compassion. It is unmerited favor. All the favor that we need comes from the Father. We don't need to bank it because he gives it to us. The Father is filled with compassion, and he runs to his son. He runs out there. He meets him on the road, and it says he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Can't you see the emotion here? The father could have said, you know what? You ingrate. You used up everything. I don't want to see you again. Don't set a foot on this property. That had been a pretty bad story for Jesus to tell, right? But there's been a lot of parents who have done that. Instead, this father rushes out and he hugs his son. In the son, you can see him. He hangs his head. He's ashamed of himself. And he confesses. This is a key here. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against God, and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, God says, this is my son. Here is the son. He said, I'm no longer worthy. I've given up the right to be your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Why? Had he earned merit? Had he earned favor? And the answer is no. He had done just exactly the opposite. He had taken his inheritance. He had squandered it. He had done everything wrong. He had no reason to deserve favor. Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Why was the father lavishly giving him gifts, giving him grace when he didn't deserve it? The answer is, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What a word picture. The son was spiritually dead. He came back to the father. He confessed his sins and the father forgave him. He didn't say, oh, nope, your bank of favor, your merit is all gone. You got nothing to do this. You're going to be one of the servants. No, the father said, you are my son. As we saw in Ephesians chapter 1, he says the father has adopted us into sonship. Son, son, son. We are the sons and daughters of God. And what paid for that? The son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The cross is what paid that debt. We get all of the grace we're ever going to get when we accept Christ and accept his forgiveness and become part of the family of God. And that is why we do this. Baptism is a marker of when we are saved and identified with Christ. The Lord's Supper is a marker that we do routinely. We don't have to get baptized over and over again, but we get saved here and we are practicing, we are rehearsing what Jesus did for us. Why we were dead and now we are alive again because of him. So if you would take your wafer, it says, while they were eating, this is Matthew's version, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. This is a celebration of thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us. Let's take a moment and thank him. Lord, we thank you so much. We praise you for coming to earth and being obedient, that you showed us the way. You showed us the way in baptism at the beginning of your ministry. You showed us the way of dying on the cross at your end. In giving us this special ordinance, this special right for us to come before you and remember. Lord, that you offered yourself in our place so that we were born spiritually dead and now are alive in you. Thank you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. And he said, he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. Eat with me, please. It says, then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. Again, let's be thankful. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. And we realize the blood is a symbol of your shed blood that you willingly offer for us. So that we have all been prodigals in our life, Lord. We have all turned away. We need to come before you regularly, humbly, like the prodigal, and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called a son anymore, but you welcome us back with open arms because you have grace and mercy and love. Thank you for sending your son to pay our price, something we can't pay ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen. He said he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's drink together. Let's close this part of our service in prayer. Lord, we have short memories. We are taught to do this so that we remember. We do it routinely to remind us of where we've been, because sometimes we get a sense of we're good enough, we've done enough. Maybe works is what we're thinking of. Lord, when you did the work and all we do is respond, all we do is receive a gift. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you that we can join in this together with baptisms 1 week and the Lord's Supper the next, with the communion, with the Eucharist together, that we worship you, we praise you, and we thank you for all you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. Before we go on to our video this morning, we have just a few updates. The month of July, our focus is Pastor and Leadership Ministries, and thank you so much for praying for us. Please continue. Marlene is our missionary of the month. This is the first month that she's actually not a missionary. She finished up on the 30th of June, and so pray for her as she continues to transition to life in a country that she's not spent a lot of time in the last probably 40 years. Pray for our missions committee. Just this week, we received a missionary suggestion from ABWE. I presume that they know that the dies, we supported them, and now we have a gap. And so they're making suggestions. And so Joni is going to take that along with her to the next missions committee meeting. And we'll take a look at everything and just prayerfully ask the Lord to lead us where he wants us to go. If you look up here on the slide, it says a special thank you to someone. Who's someone? Well, you know, across the course of my ministry, I've made the mistake of naming people, and some people get uncomfortable with that. They go, oh, I don't want you to say my name. I just want to be anonymous. I want my blessings to be in heaven. And so today, you might be one of these someone. Because there are people that do things from week to week that show up here. Like, for example, I came home from being gone this week, and someone had come and cleaned up the parking lot. We had a whole bunch of weeds, and it was unsightly, and they cleaned that all up, and it looks a whole lot better. So thank you, someone. We've not had a flag up since the spring. Our rope broke. And I don't know how tall the flagpole is, 25 feet or whatever, but I'm not good enough shape anymore to climb a flagpole and try to run a line through that, and we couldn't quite figure it out. Someone did. Someone figured it out, and they contacted a tree service, and they came over here with a crane, and we got new rope on there. Someone else got a new flag, and we, on the 3rd of July, we had a new flag here. So I woke up on Fourth of July morning to that. And I go, thank you, you someones. This week, a couple someones came up and fooled around in the sound booth. We've got two new monitors back there. We have a different computer tower that is eventually going to be better. They're still figuring things out and getting everything together, but there's a couple someones that spent some time and donations to get our technology back in up to date there. You come in here and it smells like, wow, somebody spring cleaned this place in July. It's clean, it smells clean. Outdoors, there's flowers and the yard looks good. Thank you, someones. We have some really special someones. And you know, there's a lot of someones that give, put money in the offering plate, that keep us afloat, keep us supporting missionaries. Thank you, someone. I'm sure I pretty much have covered all of you at this point, haven't I? Because there's a lot of things that get done here. Appreciate you all. Last thing, I told you that Voice of the Martyr sent me an offer on a book, and I accepted. When Faith is Forbidden, 40 days on the front lines with restricted Christians. Just came this week. I just took it out of the plastic. If you would like to read this, it's going to be serious reading. Martyrs and persecution is not fun, but it's real. If you would like to read this book, I'm going to end up putting it in the church library. I will put it right here, and you are welcome to come on up and take it. When you're done, just put it back, and we'll keep passing it around if this is something that you would like to do. But pray for the Voice of the Martyrs. And again, the plan is that we are going to support them at Christmas time with one of our giving, our Angel Tree projects. So with that said, I would like to welcome the Martins here by proxy. They'll be up on our screen, and please pay attention to what our missionaries have to say.
Again, Sharon Martin. And first, we just want to say thank you to you for all of your love, your prayers, and your support. Especially over this last year, as many of you know, about this time last year, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so it's been quite the difficult journey. We spent quite a bit of time this last year in Houston, Texas, where I was getting treated at MD Anderson Cancer Center and had some radiation. We ended up spending, I think it was almost 2 months, 6 weeks, quite a long time in Houston. And those treatments, at least the radiation is over now, so thankful for that. Still been on some hormone therapy that should be dissipating anytime soon. Can't wait for that. That's been pretty debilitating, I would say, over these last few months. And but it's been just great to see how the Lord has provided for us through this journey. I'm now just going back about every 6 months. So we just had our 6 month checkup, and Sharon and I were there just in April and got some good news from the doctor. Everything looks to be going well in terms of recovery from that. And we'll be heading back not again until this next October. So just about every 6 months, be checking in for that. So again, thank you guys for your prayers. But along that journey,
even though, as Doug said, this last year has been incredibly difficult and we have seen God's goodness, it did provide us with some unique ministry opportunities. Mm-hmm. And those actually began while we were in Houston. Yeah. And it was Christmas Eve, and you know, a tough time to be spending by yourself down in Houston. But we decided to go to the grocery store, and while we were stopped at the crosswalk, we met a young couple, and Doug could tell right away from just brief conversation that English was not their first language. Yeah. And so we began engaging them in conversation, got to know Maria and Andre, and talked for a few minutes about, you know, where they lived in Ukraine. They had been to Budapest, and then we kind of went our separate ways, and they went to the right, we went to the left, unknowing that we were ending up at the same place.
Yeah.
And we ended up at the grocery store together, and so we saw them a few times, and we waved, and they were shy and quiet, but the Lord just began impressing upon our hearts that, hey, here's a couple that they're from Ukraine. They probably don't have any family here. We're in Houston for Christmas, don't have any family here. So went and found them. We invited them for dinner.
Yeah.
They agreed, and
how about
they
that?
Came to our apartment the next day.
Christmas Day.
With their son. And so it was a great chance to get to know them, and we connected with them on our last trip back. They're talking about coming out to see us, and so we've just been able to tell them about our faith a little bit and hopefully encourage them. And we would love to see them come to know the Lord. So that's Maria, Andre, and Luca.
And Luca, and one of the things, you know, we just met them again for dinner just a couple of weeks ago. And the thing that God reminded me was when he said, you know, we don't usually walk to the store.
Right.
And on that day, they were walking to the store, we were walking to the store. So you can just see how God was in that as well.
Only God could have ordained
that. Yeah, only, you know, here we are in Houston, and we're walking to the store, and God gives us an opportunity to be salt and light.
That's just one story of many. We were also in Florida over Easter at a restaurant, which, you know, we go to restaurants a lot. And we met a single mom and her two boys and just kind of engaged them. And you could tell times were tough for them financially. And so we paid for their dinner, and she was just so touched and hugged us both. And we emailed her or texted her, and we've been praying for her. And she kind of reached out. Her life is a little bit difficult, and I keep texting her and telling her I'm praying for her. So just would you pray for Tiffany and her two sons, that they would come to know the Lord as well. So the Lord is still giving us opportunities in spite of cancer.
Yeah, and even literally just a few days ago, we've been going to the same dry cleaners for I don't know how many years now, and I dropped off some shirts. Michelle is the one we usually interact with, and just as I was getting ready to leave, I started to turn, and then I thought, the Lord just impressed upon me, you know, ask her how you can pray for her today. So I quickly turned back around, and I said, hey, Michelle, you know, I see you a lot. I said, I've never thought to ask you, but how can I pray for you today? And she started to get tears in her eyes. And she said, you know, I'm not very religious, but, you know, maybe a little bit. She said, but I'm really having a difficult time today. And I just said, well, you know, the Lord must have known that, and he sees you. And so that's probably why he prompted me to ask you. So I just want you to know I'm going to be praying for you throughout the day. And I just saw her again just this morning when I dropped off some other shirts. And Sharon said, hey, give her my card, and if she wants to do coffee. So again, you know, just God is giving us opportunities to be salt and light. And also, and probably one of our favorite ones is actually over this last year, the Lord brought really two families into our lives. It's a single mom with kids, and then also the dad and stepmom who kind of share custody between the kids. And we started ministering to them, when was it, like last May? They started learning some Bible verses for us. We brought them up here to ABWE, and I was mentoring the one young man, Rylan, for a couple of months. And again, one of the days God just impressed upon me, you know, Doug, do the whole gospel today. And it was, I believe, on July 20th, if I'm not mistaken. It was a Friday. And so I went through the whole gospel. I asked Rylan if he wanted to accept Christ, and he said, no, not right now. Next day, I was sending Rylan a verse, and he wrote back. I texted it to him, and he wrote back and said, hey, Mr. Doug, thank you. He said, oh, by the way, last night, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm like, well, hey, Sharon, we got to have him. We got to talk to him and see what he is. So he told us all about it. It was so exciting. Well, then 2 weeks later, Sharon wanted to invite both of these families over for dinner and just kind of encourage them and talk to them. And what happened on that August the 6th?
Well, the mom, who's a new believer, was telling me that her 10-year-old daughter, Emery, wanted to be baptized. And so I said, well, has she ever, you know, made a profession of faith? Does she know Jesus as her Savior? And she said, I don't know, let's ask her. So we brought her into the living room, And she said, no, she hadn't, but she would like to. And so I kind of went through the whole gospel with her again. And then she prayed right there on our couch in our living room and asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins and to be her Savior.
And I love that, you know, almost every time she comes to our house still, because we've still done a lot of Bible studies with the kids and fun activities, and they come over. And when she comes in, she points over, she goes, Mr. Doug, she goes, and she points at our couch and says, that's where I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, as we were doing those Bible studies, Sharon and I, we got together one night. We had all four kids over. Now two of them are believers. And so we said, you know, we're going to be going away to Houston for all this cancer treatment. You know, I really want to see if we can share the gospel one more time. So we did our good soil material with the kids. And then afterwards, we had this plan. Hey, she'll talk to the girls. I'll talk to the guys, because Bodie wasn't yet a believer, and neither was Mia.
Yeah, right.
And what happened after the Bible study when you were talking to the girls?
So I took the girls into the family room, different couch, and Emmy and Mia and I sat there, and we talked about what it meant to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And Emmy shared her experience, and Mia said that she wanted to do that. And so I said, okay, let me go through it again for you. And then Mia prayed to receive Christ on the other couch in the family room.
Amazing. And as I was talking to Bodie that night, he said, you know, he said, I'm not ready. And that was in November. Mm-hmm. But then by January, his mom had told us that he said he had prayed to accept Jesus in their car after church one day. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, because most of the kids now, they all want to be missionaries. And they're talking about it, especially Bodie. He wants to be a missionary to Japan. So pray for Bodie. Who knows? Maybe one day God will call him to be a missionary in Japan, because that's really on his heart right now. So again, just a lot of great opportunities to share the gospel. But we also have kind of full-time jobs here at ABWE. Sharing a little bit about, you know, what do you do here within the headquarters?
Well, I work in the president's office with our president, Paul Davis, and my two main areas of responsibility are legal, which is where I make sure that I'm the liaison between all the departments and our attorneys, and so I make sure that we're in compliance, that we're doing everything decently and in order. And the second thing I do is manage our board of directors. I'm the corporate secretary for the board, and so I work very closely with our board. We have a new chair and vice chair, and I just really love our board, and it's a privilege to serve them.
Yeah, and for me, here's four things I'll share with you quickly. So the first one is our 24-hour demo, which is something that I want to invite you to come to. We have one coming up June 7th and 8th if you want to explore missions. We had nearly 60 people here back in March, many of whom now are in the pipeline for becoming missionaries. We also just brought in 15 new missionaries in our new missionary orientation. Just a couple of weeks ago, we already have 30 signed up to attend this summer's candidate class, and we're still hoping for more that will join us this summer. And then we have another one coming up this October. So I lead all of that process and our onboarding and orientation for a lot of our missionaries. And then also that, I've been working on developing a one-day mission conference for churches, and looks like we're going to do our first one coming up here in June, again, to just expose people to missions and all of the opportunities that exist for people to be involved in the Great Commission. And then lastly, something new for me. I we've been talking about evangelism and how we've been sharing the gospel, and the Lord has just kind of put this idea in my heart about 8 habits that I've developed that I think I've seen others develop too. And so I'm working on a training that may become a book, 8 Habits of Highly Effective Evangelizers. So would you pray for me? We've got an author, leader, Mac Lake, coming in, who's gonna be working with me here in just a couple of weeks. So would appreciate your prayers for that initiative as well. And then lastly, hey, we just wanna say thank you. This is all possible because of you guys, your prayers, many of you, your support. And so again, just from Doug and Sharon Martin, we wanna say thank you for partnering with us in this ministry.
In meeting with Doug, he is an impressive guy. He is really sharp. He has a big picture mind. He's really creative. And he's the kind of leader that gets the best people together to do the vision that God gives them to do. And pray for him going through cancer. That's why Annie suggested that Gary's song, because even missionaries go over mountains. You know, they have climbs to do. And so pray for our missionaries.